أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام وإليك يعود السلام تبركت ربنا وتعاليت يا ذو الجلال والإكرام. آمين. So let's do a little bit of a check-in just to see how everybody's doing. Start with you, Tahara. How are you after the week?
Intense.
Cupping was intense. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, you know, intense.
Were you inspired by it? Is this something you would want to take out into the world or not?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. And how are you after all the shaitan this week?
I hope it has left me. No, what worries me every time I mixed feelings.
Well, try, instead of saying, I hope he has left me, try, he has left me. Okay, good. How about you, Nora?
Alhamdulillah, was definitely a strong, intense week. And I feel the blessings in that. And I do think I feel a lot left.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Alhamdulillah. And I just hope we have a very Jamali day today.
That's the plan. That was the plan.
We shall see.
Typically, we do the shaitan in the middle of the week. I asked Amani to do the Diaz Thursday afternoon because she needed a bit more practice, but I hadn't known she was going to continue with the shaitan on Friday because she didn't get the memo. Usually I try to put it in the middle, so we make the beginning sweet and the end sweet, and we squeeze the shaitan in between. But it'll be fine.
We just got a little more squeezing, is that what you said?
Sorry?
Are you saying that we just got a little bit more of a squeeze?
Yes. Allah blessed you with extra shaitan. Yes, Rachma, how are you doing?
I think that is a blessing. I don't know, for me. I feel like it's all planned and woven together to work best, and I feel things leaving me, feel things have left me. I feel like at the beginning, I didn't even know if it was me or Shaitan. I didn't know how to identify, how to separate. And now I can see me, and the Shaitan is smaller and smaller. And I love two things, especially from Amani, that have just really went in my ear. One was that her deep prayer to leave no space inside me for the Shaitan or between us. I love that, especially how she said it. And Allahu Akbar is beautiful.
Wonderful.
Allahu Akbar. So I'm glad I came.
We're glad you came too, and your husband. It was fun having him here. Hope he comes again.
I think he will.
Good. Rahma, how are you doing?
I feel well. Yeah. This week has been... I feel like it was... Like, we learned so much this week. I really feel like the sense of having covered a lot of territory. And I think yesterday I was feeling tired. I was like, oh my gosh, we've learned so much. Just like I was really tired all day, and today I feel more energized. So I loved cupping.
Yeah.
I thought it was so beautiful. Yeah, I was sitting in the sauna last night, and I just found myself thinking about it and thinking about taking it home and kind of wondering, like, who's going to be open to letting me do cupping with them. So, I really loved that. And having 2 days with Wadud and then 2 days with Amani was wonderful. Like, I mean, I love both those teachers and how they walk us in class. And so, all the teachings this week have felt really rich. Yeah, especially after doing cupping Shaitanakarm, it's like that feeling of like my body feels lighter and more solid at the same time, which is
great.
It's like there's a clarity and like a solidity that has strengthened, but then it's also like a lightness and some feeling.
Nice.
It's good to.
Good. Asifa, how are you doing? Jamila.
Yes. Yeah, it was a very productive week.
Yeah.
And I loved cupping too. Yeah, unbelievable. I didn't think like in one day we get to do it. We were just like, you know, that was amazing.
Like, yeah, you were blessed by having such a small group.
Yeah.
That you could get lots
like, you know,
of
just in
coaching.
One day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait to go and do that. Give to other people.
Yeah. How about you, Nor?
It's interesting. I think I'm feeling connected, but not invested. So it's like usually I'm very, if I'm feeling connected to something, I'm also feeling kind of just all in, but I don't feel that all inness, which feels kind of liberating in a way.
Mm-hmm.
I think like it's just not attached. It's connected but not attached. And like feeling related but not entangled. So there's a freedom and there's a space in that connectedness.
Nice. How are you doing, Rod? Rahma?
Just
I know this has been a hard week for you.
I don't know what's going on. I've just been really emotional this morning.
It's okay. You can be in whatever state you're in. It's all right. Let's all of us, as we go home this week, keep Rahma in our prayers. She has some more medical treatment next week, so let's pray for her. How about you, Rahima?
Oh, I thought we were going, so...
Oh, yes, we will go to the people online, too.
Yeah, it's been an intense week. Very enjoyable, even if, you know, I did feel the squeeze. I'm very grateful.
Who do we have online?
We have Radia, and we also have Habila and Layla.
Okay. Ladies, which one of you would like to share first how you're doing?
Oh, Layla just, I think it was an accident, just
popped off.
Yeah. Radia, she's unmuted.
Identifying like how much like I think that Shaitan needs to move out or pay more rent.
an embarrassment of riches.
I mean, it was amazing, and it was great, you know? It was just so great to be like, oh, we need to back up. So, yeah, so Tuesday was really hard, but then the last 2 days, and with Amani, she's so sweet, you know? I'm like, wow, you know, like, it was gentle, you know? And now it was hard, so really hard.
Is Habiba on as
well? Yeah, Habiba, do you want to go next?
Assalamualaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
I think that the last couple days were really good, and this morning, for whatever reason, I'm just I feel like the shaitan is raising this ugly head again in my heart. So I'm just in another sad place, and I feel like a wet blanket on this beautiful parade. You know, it's just like I do have the joy. I really enjoyed what you, but I did have some fear because we're remote. Fear of like not being able to complete the cupping because I'm on the East Coast and. You know, near the fire, but it doesn't seem like the practitioners will be in this area. And then there's a piece of me that's like, wow, can I really do that? You know, like, can I really step in to do that? And are you strong enough? And, you know, all these, like, voices. So.
Is cupping something that you have him to do, that you really do want to step into?
I don't have to. I you know, it might be nice to be able to offer it to family and friends, but there's certainly enough practitioners in the area that do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I'm saying is that it's really your choice. If you have Hima to do it, wonderful, and if you don't have Hima to do it, there's no pressure on you to do it.
Okay, I'm really well. So anyway, that's just kind of where I'm at, and yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. I just feel a little blah today, and I get through that too. I realize now because it's the last day. This used to happen to me in the other years, and I already go through my painful separation with missing the group even before it's over. So.
I used to, at the end of every session, up at Lake Arrowhead, I was always one of the last ones to leave because a lot of people would leave on the Saturday night and I would always stay till Sunday morning. And I'd be sitting there on the couch and I'd just see people leaving one after another. And I'd be sitting there and my heart would be saying, don't leave, as everybody sort of emptied out one by one. So I know what that feels like. Did Layla come back on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyone else? That's all we have on at the moment. Okay, so I had an inspiration yesterday. I'm going to inflict it on you guys.
Thank you.
It's another piece of homework. We're going to go over and talk about it now. And look at it. We might even do an exercise. Because this is something that's really important for a Sufi. So, yeah, you can maybe. I will email this to you, those of you online, but for the time being I'm going to read this. This is just a short excerpt from a book that Sidi wrote called The Migration of the Truthful Traveler. And it's on page 19. when this book first came out and I read it, I read that little, just that little two-paragraph piece, I was like, wow, I don't know if I can call myself a Sufi anymore. So I wanted us to think about this and maybe practice it. A man once said to Sal ibn Abdullah at-Tastari, which group of people should I accompany? At-Tastari replies, the Sufis, because they are not judgmental or prejudiced, and they have an explanation for every action which always excuses people. Sufism adopts this merciful attitude that is based on concepts of ease and forgiveness which form their religious beliefs. The Sufis draw provision from the two divine names, the universally merciful, Ar-Rahman, and the singularly compassionate, Ar-Rahim. Since Allah's names are realities manifesting in the creation, the Sufis pursue the embodiment of these names and realities in their behavior and attitude. They believe they are, by Allah, charged with actualizing these qualities in the physical world so that these qualities are never suspended. That's Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Sufi speaking about. But the line that drew my attention most when I first read this was, the Sufis, because they are not judgmental or prejudiced, they have an explanation for every action which always excuses people. And I know from my own experience and talking to other people that most of us, when somebody does something that we don't like or we don't understand, something that triggers us or really gets our attention, we tend to project onto them what we believe their motivation is. They're doing this because they don't like me. They're doing this because they're angry. They're doing this because they're a jerk. They're doing such and such because they want to profit from it. We often really come up with negative judgments about why somebody's done something that triggered us. And in actual fact, often it has nothing to do with any of those reasons, because people do things for all kinds of reasons, and many of those reasons are benign. People often have good intentions and other people interpret them differently. So the homework that I've given you is that once a day when somebody triggers you, notice what assumption you're making about the motive for their speech or action and write down that assumption, what you assume is their motivation for that, why they're doing it. And then sit, think, and find two benign explanations for why that person's speech or action, why they said what they said or why they did what they did. Find two benign explanations and write those down, explanations that could excuse their action, and write those down. I think it'll be good practice for us. So do it every day between now and the June session. Just once a day if you get triggered during the day. If you don't get triggered for a whole day, alhamdulillah. But the next time you're triggered, just do it once a day. If you get triggered 100 times a day, just still do it once a day. You have to do it 100 times every day. So any questions about this?
Could you give examples of a benign explanation?
Yes.
I have one.
Okay.
It just came in a healing. I could make up all kinds of reasons why my husband might yell at me. And in the healing, I was shown, if you had a wife who was behind a wall like that, what would you do? What could you possibly do? What options do you have? And all of a sudden I could feel all this mercy about, oh, he just doesn't know what else to do to get to me behind this wall.
I'm doing that. Beautiful. Mm. Yeah, I have an example. For example, my name Camilla was always pronounced Camilla. That was how we all said it, because Jamila, you know, there are all these other names that sounded like that. Then I met Fazia years later, and she said, you're mispronouncing your name as Camilla. And so I changed. And people say my name any old which way. I get Camilla, I get Camilla, and my daughter-in-law calls me Camilla. I answer to all of them. And but the one thing that bugs me is that Wadud misspelled, and that doesn't bother me because I understand, okay, you know, they all learned it as Camilla, and it's hard to change, and people are gradually changing when they realize it. But Wadud Laird for years has misspelled Camilla. He spells it with an E. And that one triggers me. I'm like, you see my name every day. Why can't you remember how to spell my name? Blah, blah, blah. You know, you're not paying attention. It's not important to you. But what I realized is that they named one of their daughters Camilla or Camilla, and they spelled it with an E. So that's how he's used to writing Camilla. So, you know, it's a perfectly benign reason. He's not doing it to annoy me or because he doesn't care about me or because he's lazy or any of the other, you know, projections I could put onto him. It's as simple as that. That's how his daughter's name is spelled. So that's how he thinks of Camilla in his head. So, you know, we can have all kinds of, you know, this shows up all over the place. Are any of you familiar with the Enneagram? Mm-hmm. Anybody ever worked with the Enneagram? The Enneagram, first of all, is a Sufi thing. The Sufis came up with the Enneagram. It's a really good description of the nafs. And you have these types of nafs that have different characteristics. And you can figure out which type you are by answering a set of questions, because everybody in that type tends to answer questions and think the same way. Because what it is that we all, with our nafs, because of the pictures that we have, we all end up having this little window that we see the world through. And it's been split into 9 types. It's more complicated than that, because you can have wings on either side, and you can go to a different type when you're upset and a different type when you're doing well. But the bottom line is that each type has this window through which they see the world. So 4s understand each other perfectly. 8s understand each other perfectly. But a 4 and an 8 or a 6, they look at each other and they don't understand why they're doing what they're doing, why they're reacting the way they're reacting. And so you project from your type, your nafs, onto them as to what they want and why they're doing what they're doing. And we often project negative ideas because clearly they're not doing it the way we would do it. So what they're doing is wrong. So, you know, there's some dark reason why they're choosing to do this wrong. So learning to understand each person's window can actually help. If you understand how a 4 thinks, then you misinterpret less why they're doing the things the way they do. So this is a practice for this kind of thing. Just to notice when somebody triggers you, and then notice what your assumption about why they're doing what they're doing is, and then come up with 2 other reasons that are more benevolent about why they're doing it, or more neutral. Yes,
can you spell that? The
Enneagram? Enneagram.
Thank you.
The most well-known proponent of it in America is Helen Palmer, Palmer. She's written many books. But it was brought here by Gurdjieff, Sufi. And it is an excellent description of the nafs, the unclean nafs. But there's also, in working with the Enneagram, you can bring yourself to the goal. Just as for us, the goal is completion. The goal with the Enneagram is to balance all of your aspects so that you're no longer just one type.
Come on.
Yes.
Actually, you had your hand up first.
No.
Yeah, I was just saying that I don't find the Enneagram useful because I type as I don't consistently type as one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I like the one, or like for example, like a five in, integrates in the direction of an eight, but they disintegrate in the direction of a seven. But then a seven integrates in the direction of a five and disintegrates in the direction of a one. So for me, the question can come up, am I a disintegrated number X or am I an integrated number X? And the way the arrows move, I mean...
But don't forget, you also have wings. So if you're an eight, you have some of the characteristics of a seven and a nine, because they're on either side of you. So it's quite, you know, it can take a while to figure out what type you are. And as you get older, if you've been working on yourself, it gets much harder to know what type you are because you've gotten rid of some of the characteristics. So one of the easy ways to think about what type you might be is to contemplate how you reacted to things and what you did when you were 20. A 20-year-old is usually still pretty firmly with their base type. And then as we age and we work on ourselves and, you know, then we change. And so it's not so easy anymore.
I feel like you can also, like, if you're integrating and you're, like, growing on the spiritual path, could you also pick up, like, as you become more well-rounded, pick up characteristics of all
Yeah. Your... Eventually, if you, you know, it's like coming to completion. It's another way to complete in that you've integrated all of that in your being. You're now a well-rounded being who can... see, no longer has a small window, but has a huge window into the world, and can understand and tolerate, you know, other people's behavior because you understand them. You have an understanding of their type, and it's often quite easy to know what type people are if you know the Enneagram. But anyway, this is not actually based on the Enneagram. This is based on a Dab and mercy and compassion. I first encountered this concept when I met Fazia and I started spending a lot of time working with her because, you know, no matter what I said, I would talk to her about people and the things that they did, and or somebody would complain to her about somebody, and she would always come back with an explanation, which was a merciful explanation. And it was so beautiful, because there was always a good and merciful reason why that person may have done something. So if you practice this enough, it can actually change your way of being in the world. Because some of, you know, a lot of us just have projecting negative connotations onto a lot of things that go on. So this can actually help break that pattern. So that's why that came to me last night, that this might be a good exercise. I've never given this to anyone before.
Could you I know you had a question. Do you want to go?
Oh, no, my question was just like, with the Enneagram, I know it describes the kind of evolution of the type.
Mm-hmm.
So that I just wanted to confirm, that's also like the polishing of our naps, right? Like
yes.
As we polish,
mm-hmm.
It's like you become able to understand the perspective of the other types, and then
mm-hmm.
your type becomes more fully aware of like the potential of that type. Is that right?
Yes. Helen Palmer's latest book, she's focusing more on the higher spiritual aspects of the types.
Oh.
How they grow up and, you know, how they purify themselves and balance themselves and grow spiritually. And she talks about the different spiritual gifts of each type. Yeah. Did you have another question, though?
I think I forgot. Oh, yeah. In cases of, like, bullying, for example, workplace type of situation... where clear boundaries are crossed. What are some examples of benign explanations? Because I'm also kind of trying to work with NBC where understanding like a strategy may not be a need. So maybe their strategy is bullying, but their unmet need might be something completely completely unrelated. Mm-hmm. Trying to find other ways to
actually happen. Rachma's explanation was a beautiful one for that. Why was her husband yelling at her? And then she saw that he had to yell to get through the wall that was between us. You know, her initial explanation before she came up with that might have been, he's an angry man, it's not right for him to be yelling at me like that, I shouldn't take this, and he's a bully and demanding and blah, blah, blah. And then she saw the truth, which was that he was trying to connect with her, actually. So so it allows us to look at the situation from another angle. Any other questions or comments about this one? Okay, so I've got a choice for you. I have two topics that I could teach today, and I may get to both of them, but in case we run out of time this afternoon, I wanted to give you an option as to which one you want to do first, because that one will be sure to cover. So one topic is perfection and qualities that help in reaching perfection. And the other topic is divine names of witnessing, Ash-Shahid, Al-Khabir, and Al-Alim. Any preferences?
Protection or witnessing?
Perfection.
Perfection or witnessing?
Yeah, perfection or witnessing. Maybe we'll get to both.
Could you maybe say a little more about each one?
Well, in witnessing, we're going to talk about three divine names of witnessing, Al-Khabir, Ash-Shahid, and Al-Alim. And in perfection, we're going to talk about the nature of perfection and outer and inner perfection, and the qualities that are called the four mothers of the virtuous qualities, from which all the other virtuous qualities come. And then we'll talk about a few divine names that help you reach, move towards perfection. Perfection? Okay.
Me too.
All right, raise your hand if you vote for witnessing, because we've had a number for perfection. 3. Raise your hand if you vote for perfection.
So vote for both.
3. And 1 alive. 2 alive. 5, okay. All right, well, let's see if we can get through both of them, actually. I'm going to quickly run through my homework just to see if there are any questions, my other homework, just to see if there are any questions, and then we'll get started. In the world of the imagination, I want you to write the third door from the realities of imagination, and I want you to write the first section of the 10th door from the realities. Then, remembering back to the first day we did the 7 aspects of the soul, I want you to choose one of the soul aspects that you would like to strengthen and recite the divine names for that aspect 300 times a night for 2 weeks. And then write and submit a short journal of your experience, just a couple of paragraphs, and any changes you noticed in yourself or your experience of the world around you during or after the 2 weeks. Then homework for the Divine Names of God class. Oh, we better get through perfection because I signed your homework on it. Recite the divine names for the steps to perfection. Choose either Yasabur, Yakadir, Yasalam, or Yawakil. O Yahakim, Yasabur, Yahalim, Yahadol. Recite the group of names you chose 100 times per night for 2 weeks. And again, write and submit a short journal of your experience and any changes you noticed around you or in you. Then another exercise on working with divine names. This time the divine names for love, the ones that we went over last time. And there's a handout for that, so you have them and a description of the exercise. You're going to do that one for 4 weeks. Basically, you'll be reciting some of the divine names for love. And then, again, write a short description of what, if anything, you noticed while reciting each name and any changes you've noticed. And then recite the divine names for witnessing 100 times per night. Write a short description of what you noticed while reciting each name and changes in yourself, your surroundings. And then give three organ healings. If you can do them in person, do them in person. But if you can't, then it's fine to do them over the phone. Then the Quran and the divine names. Listen to Surah Shams and Fajr 20 times each. They're very short. Read the tafsir for these two surahs. They're both in the tafsir Juz Amma. And write a short journal of your experience. And please memorize Ayat al-Kursi before next session, if you don't already know it. Because we're going to do a healing with Ayat al-Kursi for the brain. And then your healing homework is to do 10 more unity healings. And then 5 shaitanic harm healings, since these need to be done in person. And then this extra homework that I already went over. Any questions about any of this, or is it pretty straightforward? Yes?
So I didn't get to give the shaitanic harm healing in class because I couldn't under supervision, so I did one last night.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess what I noticed was after you do the first part where you do the recitation, there was a lot of shaking in between the recitation and a lot of like jerking back and forth, and I didn't know, like, when, in terms of having my head near the forehead, I had to move it out of the way when the jerking was happening. What could we do? Like, my guidance was to stop recitation and let the energy kind of squirm around, and then when it went back up, then I went back to reciting. Would it have been better for me to continue recitation?
I would have continued it because the energy's really uncomfortable and that's why the body's moving around, and you want it to keep leaving, so you keep the pressure on it, you keep it uncomfortable, because if you give it time to recover, then it can just go back to where it was, then you're starting all over again with the recitation, so I would keep going. I think I told you about the woman that was in this chair, that moved the chair the whole way across the room. I just kept my hand on her forehead, and I just moved with her, and I just kept reciting.
Yeah, because she had put her head forward, I couldn't have my hand on the forehead anymore, so that's why I thought, is the priority to have the hand on the forehead, or is the priority to continue recitation? Because I could have done the recitation, but I could no longer.
The priority is the recitation, yeah. Because you're on your way to clearing it if it's acting that way, so you want to keep going, so if possible. Any other questions? Okay, how much time do we have? 45 minutes. All right, let's start with perfection. So there's a chapter in Reality of Imagination on perfection. We won't necessarily go through all of it because it's quite lengthy, but I'll read you a few pages and then we'll talk about what I've read. This is the 10th door, so you're going to be writing this section that I'm reading you today during the intercession. On the reality of perfection and beauty. Fi hakika al-kamal wa al-jamal. Know, my beloved, that perfection, al-kamal, is a secret in the existent beauty. I will elaborate further. perfection means the presence of all the praiseworthy qualities in the existent. The existent is that which exists, the creature that's being created. And it is divided into inner or hidden, batin, perfection, and outer or manifested perfection. Manifestation is the here. Regarding the manifest perfection, al-kamal al-dhahir, it is the general beauty that suits the body, which differs from one creature to another, because the qualities that perfect the human being are different from those qualities that perfect the animal. So what makes a dog perfect is different from what makes a human being perfect. And Siddhi says, the qualities that perfect the human being are different from those qualities that perfect the animal, which are also different from those qualities that perfect the plants. So in conclusion, the qualities that perfect one genus, one creature of a particular type or ontological level, are different from the qualities that perfect another. I mean, you know, if we can think about this, it's easy to imagine, you know, what are the differences between a human being and a horse, and why a horse needs much stronger legs and a bigger heart, and, you know, all of the things that horses need to serve as a horse are different from what a human being needs to be a human being, or a cat needs to be a cat, or a fish needs to be a fish. Also, the qualities that perfect one organ of the body differ from the qualities that perfect another organ. The perfection of the human image manifests in the proportional harmony of the organs, in the moderation of their mood, and in the mix of their colors in the delicacy of the skin. On the other hand, the perfection of the body is in its acceptance of what is expected of it, such as racing and performance, as well as in its muscles, its vigor, and its color and light. The perfection of sound manifests in its beauty and depth. As you can see, the perfection of the forms are many, and this is the manifest perfection. But souls become affected by it because it is the characteristic of beauty which is loved by the spiritual intrinsic nature of humans. Siddhi's telling us here that there's a relationship between perfection and beauty. It is in the nature of the human being to appreciate beauty, and they are repulsed by disgraceful, dishonorable, or blemished pictures. The senses, the physical senses, are the messengers of the soul, which receive the beauty that is expanded in existence. This is why souls feel at ease when watching pure water, seeing fresh flowers, or when listening to beautiful voices and calming tones. The pleasure that can be received from this kind of beauty is so powerful that it can heal our sadness, bring joy to our hearts, expand our hopes, and ease our stress. This is due to the relationship between what is natural and unimpaired with modesty and purity, which is the opposite of the dark nature of the self that causes distress. Sounds, rhythmic music, and song have a great effect on the soul. They nourish the soul, including that within the animal soul that is not concerned with expression. For example, this is a funny example, camels are known for their patience and forbearance. But when a camel hears the sound of a hawk, it can travel a distance in a much shorter time than usual. Similarly, we find other animals that enjoy good tunes and infants who become calm and fall asleep when they hear singing. The effect of musical instruments on the souls is also well known. It is very natural that souls are attracted to these things, and no one denies it. And this is because they are all a manifestation of beauty. If we compare this pleasure with another pleasure that drives the human, sexual desire, we will find the souls different, because the latter is a desire that comes from the animal nature, not from the spiritual nature. Sexual desire differs in nature from the pleasure of the psychological awareness of one's own existence, and each pleasure originates from a different stimulus. Plants, animals, and humans have souls. This is where Seed talks a little bit in his book about plant and animal souls. The pleasure of eating and drinking belongs to the level of the plants, while the pleasure of the animal soul is driven by sexual urge as well as tendencies toward revenge, leadership, and anger. On the other hand, the pleasure of the godly souls is in gaining lordly knowledge, attaining ecstasy by gnosis and nearness to the real, and obtaining direct knowledge of him. The plant aspect within the human soul is the same as that in plants. The animal aspect within it is the same as that in animals, and the godly soul of the human is the same as that in the angels. These three forces are variables within the human being, and they differ from one another, as we have just explained. A proof of the different stimuli from which each type of pleasure is driven can be demonstrated by the donkey, who would have sexual intercourse to release the accumulated sperm, not because of the beauty of its spouse, because beasts do not distinguish a good image from an ugly one. We also find that the majority of people are involved in sexual activity to conceive children or for physical pleasure. However, the Gnostic takes sexual pleasure to a deeper level to understand the ecstasy of the final world. Physical pleasure becomes secondary and a way toward perfection and gnosis. Some people lose their sexual desire completely, but they do not lose the desire to look at beautiful images. This proves the difference between the two desires. The ones who gain pleasure by looking at beautiful flowers, pure water, and adorned souls do not love those things for themselves, but love them because they complete an image of perfection. Perfection is intuitively loved and cannot be denied or eliminated. Then Sidi goes on to talk about hidden perfection, al-kamal al-batin, and he's talking about qualities here. He says this refers to the union of virtuous qualities within the human being in a moderate way and how he applies them in life. The intellectual virtuous qualities are many, but they have four mothers. And the four mothers are wisdom, al-hikmah, purity, al-ifah, courage, al-shaja'a, and justice, al-adla. The rest of the virtuous qualities stem from these four, and these are the qualities that perfect and complete the human essence. The human being remains unfulfilled until these qualities completely unite within him, and these qualities cannot be perfected except with modesty and balance. So I'm going to write up on the board. Did I give you a handout that was labeled perfection? Okay. I'll write this on the board then. So I'm going to talk about the four mothers of the virtuous qualities. So the first of these is wisdom. This is al-hikmah. Al-hikmah comes from the same root as hakim, means wisdom. We have hakim and we have hakam. Hakim, the wise, somebody got their cup, and hakam, the judge. That's why we're all such great judges, because we carry around a judge within us. Virtue is a virtue of the intellectual faculty. And it's perfected and completed by knowledge. This is how we complete and perfect wisdom. So one thing that helps us, and so the quality al-alim is good for this. Al-alim. The other qualities here under wisdom are good management, tadbir, and sound opinion. So these all fall under wisdom, which is a virtue of the intellectual faculty.
What was the last one?
Sound opinion, ra'i. You having trouble seeing the board?
Is wisdom above, so these three are subparts of the intellectual faculty, and where does wisdom...
They're all parts of intellectual faculty, and the mother of them is wisdom. But these all fall under these all are aspects of the intellectual faculty.
And what is that? Good management.
Tadbir.
Is this T-A-D-B-I-R?
Yeah.
Tadbir, right?
Tadbir.
Not losing your homework papers.
What?
Not losing your homework papers.
And then sound opinion is?
Sound opinion? It's an aspect of wisdom and good judgment, right? You have your opinions are sound. They're right. They're
and what is that right?
Right. So basically, if you look at it bottom up, you're saying that wisdom is made up of knowledge, good management, and sound opinion. And wisdom is the al-hikmah, the mother of the virtuous qualities. Okay, everybody got that? So the next mother of virtue is purity. Yes. Yes, you manage things well. Yes, it would be related to choices, making good choices, because that's part of sound opinion and good management. You know, you manage your affairs well, you make good decisions, you have the knowledge on which to make those decisions. So purity is al-iffa. This is a virtue of the sexual faculty. And things that fall under this that help to make up purity, this virtue, are piety, devotion, and godliness. Faithfulness, shyness, modesty, tolerance and forgiveness. Interesting that that falls under the sexual faculty. Patience, here we have sabur, charity, expansiveness, and satisfaction and contentment.
Rizzo.
I can put some of the names here. Faithfulness is wafa. You all know some wafas, right? Wafa from the East Coast. And modesty is haya. Tolerance and forgiveness is samaha. Patience, of course, is sabr. Charity is sakha. Expansiveness comes from the same root as basit. It is invisat. And satisfaction and contentment, I would have guessed was Rida, but it's actually Kanaha. And shyness, Hajal. Interesting combination of characteristics forming under that one. Don't understand all of them, why they would be there. sexual faculty.
Does the last one say Ganaha?
What?
Ana.
Q-ka.
Q-A-N-A-H.
So is that just a translation? Like that's the qualities that you're writing?
In brackets, that's the Arabic word.
The Arabic word for this list.
Yeah. The quality is as-sabur. The first virtue, the quality, was al-alim, for knowledge, that was wisdom. For purity, it's as-sabur, patience.
Next to patience, the S-A-B-U-R, that's the S-A-B-R.
Sabur is the noun.
Okay.
And sabur is the quality, divine name. So sabur is the patient one. Sabur is patience. It's the noun. Arabic is hell of a language to learn, I tell you. So complicated.
I think for the tolerance and forgiveness, like, I don't know, I just feel like with the unwanted sexual attention people often get, and often if there's unrequited interest or love, that there's some
That's
kind of
true.
Resentment. And
yep.
I'm thinking of Prophet Yusuf's story as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Charity, though, is an interesting one.
Well, a lot of times in, you know, intimate partnerships, people don't always have matching appetites, so.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to courage.
I have one more second.
I'm going to move on, and what I'll do is I'll leave this out in the break, and you can copy it off the sheet, just so we don't run out of time, because we're running a little behind. Courage is the third virtue. And courage is a virtue of the nervous system. Courage is shaja'a. So it's a virtue of the nervous system. Its perfection comes by striving. So these are the things that we need to reach this. Endurance, al-halim. Endurance is al-halim. Or al-hilm. Hilm is the word for endurance. Striving, of course, is jihad. Generosity. Al-karam. From that we have the divine name Al-Kareem, the generous one. We also have from this one Dhul Jalali Walikram. Dignity, D dignity is el karama. The bringing of relief. Which is nudged. And maturity of soul. Kibar and nafs. It's a weird one. Kibar and nafs. So here you see soul nafs translated as soul. I will send you all a copy of my teaching notes because I kind of excerpt all that and organized all this from Seedy's book, so it might make it easy for you to see and understand. And I'm not going to go over every piece of it, so there'll be a little bit extra there, where Seedy talks about beauty and reality and the two types of beauty, which are absolute and limited, and then in the limited, there's universal and partial beauty. It's quite a large topic. But you'll get it also when you read, when you do the writing of this chapter.
And which book is this?
Reality of Imagination. You'll have all the references there in my notes.
This thing that you just read to us, where is this one from? Also Reality?
This is 10th door of the Reality of Imagination. You're going to write it for homework. So, courage. I mean, if you think about courage, having it be a virtue of the nervous system makes sense. Striving makes sense. That it's perfection and completion of courage come through striving. That it can take endurance, generosity is not quite so clear. Dignity is clear, the bringing of relief, and maturity of soul. These are all the things that you need to develop this courage to completion. I think Seedy's probably talking about generosity of soul there. And then the last one is much shorter, that's justice. So justice is the fourth mother of the virtues. Remember how we had a mother of all the names, and there were four of those?
Yes.
Alim, Al-Hay, Al-Murid.
Halim, Hai, Murid, and?
Qadr. They were the ones for creation, but they were the mothers of the names. Those are the four mothers of the names. Al-Adila. With the divine name Al-Adl.
Is
This assures that all forces are in order. Its perfection and completion is in sound judgment. So we had that back. Oh no, we had sound opinion. This is in sound judgment. And this is the virtuous quality by which the whole of existence came, was established, whole of the cosmos was established in justice. Mercy is the matrix that carries everything. It's the doorway of all the divine names. They come through the doorway of mercy. So mercy is like the air we breathe. It's everywhere in creation.
Masculine
and mercy is a feminine, and it's interesting that justice here is a mother, given it's considered masculine too. I would take what you heard in a very loose way. And we all of us carry both the masculine and the feminine within us. And sometimes justice is mercy. Allah's justice is extremely merciful. Actually. So let's look at four other things that we need for development to completeness. And that gives us another set of four divine names that we can work with. So you can work with the divine names that were in that list among the virtuous qualities to help work towards completing yourself. But there are another set as well. What did I do with my pen? I must have put it down over here. Didn't I? So, as we know, the essence is always pure. So the essence is pure. The nafs has free will. And the nafs is inspired by both the good and the bad. We talked about that earlier in the week. The nafs receives inspiration from the good and the bad because this is how Allah created us, to have free will. So the nafs has the capacity to take in positive and negative energies. And we have, as I said, the potential for completeness in both good and evil. We can do the utmost in good. We can do the utmost in evil. This is how the nafs is programmed, and we learned about that in Surah Shams. So we're given completeness in both good and evil, and then we're given a heart and a mind in order to decide. So we can choose not to participate in the negativity in this, we can, that's what's called being in this world but not of it, with the statement, I am with Allah. So we can stand with Allah and not participate, choose not to participate in the negativity of the world. And Allah knows that we're weak, but Allah is asking us to go towards the utmost of beauty and goodness, to head towards that direction. And as I said, it's weighted in our favor because we have the essence, which is all light and good, goodness. And then we have our nafs, which can both reach the utmost in good and the utmost in evil. So if we didn't have the essence, this is why we have the essence, this is Allah's gift. If we didn't have the essence, we'd be equal in tendency towards good and evil, right? Because they'd be equal, the amount of each, we'd be balanced. But because that drop of essence within us actually pushes the balance towards the good. So it makes our tendency towards the good. And this is how Allah made us. So to develop, we need four things. First thing we need is patience, sabr. Patience and steadfastness. Knowing that the end will be good. The end will be good for everybody. We all end up in paradise. Eventually. So that's the first quality. And the quality that we can use to work on that, of course, is as-sabr. Second quality we need is it's called tadhiya. It means to control your nafs, sacrifice your wishes and desires. Tadhiya.
Tadhiya or tadhiya?
What?
Is it tadhiya or tadhiya? Sorry, I can't see the board.
Tadhiya.
Tadhiya. T-A-D-H-I-Y-A. So it could be tadhiya or it could be tadhiya. Controlling the nafs. We need to be able to control our nafs. And the quality that we can use to help us with that is al-qadir. Al-qadir. Third thing we need is taslim. Surrender. Taslim means surrender. And you should all know what quality goes with that, right? What quality? Salam. They all come from the same root. Taslim, salam, come from the same root. To surrender. And then the fourth quality that we need is tawakkul. Reliance. And the quality that you can use to work on that is al-wakil.
Justice Mother or no?
Sorry?
Are these part of the Mother Justice or no?
No, no, these are just qualities that you need to come to completeness. The four mothers of the virtuous qualities, that was a previous teaching. This is a different teaching on coming to completeness. So if we have time later in the day, we'll do an exercise using the two sets of divine names that we've just talked about, the divine names that came up in the teaching of the mothers of the virtuous qualities. There was at least one divine name associated with each, and we can also work with these divine names as well. So if we have time, we'll do an exercise using these. But right after the break, what I'm going to have you do is we're going to do an experiential piece working with the lataif in the body. Any of you familiar with that one? I taught it at Minnesota. The lataif are the major subtle energy centers in the body. We're going to do an experiential exercise with that. We'll talk about it briefly, and then we'll spend an hour or so doing a guided meditation on the lataif. Yes?
Do we have any quality, like healing the organ, any for a stomach?
The stomach?
Mm-hmm. Like, one of my clients has, like, you know, even an ulcer, like stomach ulcer.
I'd have to look. I have information about what qualities doctors use who use divine names to heal. I have to see if there's one associated with the stomach. I'll look on my computer if you can remind me.
He has an ulcer and a lot of, like, you know, anger in there.
Right. So it may not be about the stomach. Actually, the anger and stress, a lot of that goes through the liver, which is related to digestion.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, to calm anger, you use halim. H-A-L-I-M. That will calm anger.
Or I could give the one for the liver also?
You could give him the one for the liver as well, to help the liver, but it sounds like he's been tested for the bacteria that can cause ulcers.
Yeah, he's going for treatment. Like he takes medicine for the, like, you know. He mostly tried to control with the diet, like not.
Yeah, but there's a bacterium that actually causes ulcers, and it causes the majority of ulcers now. They've found. What's it called?
H. pylori.
H. pylori. So has he been tested for that? Yeah, check with him if he's been tested for that. Because if he's positive for H. pylori, that's the quickest way to get rid of an ulcer, is to take antibiotics and kill the bacteria. But on the spiritual level, halim for the anger. Actually, for stress, salam. Salam is a source of peace and safety. Salam and mu'min, I would say. But just in general, spending time in remembrance would be helpful for stress. Mm-hmm. Any form of remembrance. Any other questions or comments?
Do we have time to check out right now?
Yeah, we have half an hour break
till
11. What time is it?
It's 10:30.
It's 10:30. So we're going to break now. Come back at 11. Be on time, because we're going to be doing this guided imagery, so don't worry.